Wish you a happy Mother's Day, and for those of you moms out there. And so, as is our tradition, we have a small gift for you. So, if you are a mother, you're expecting. If you've been a mother, not if you want to be a mother, but if you are, would you please stand so that we could acknowledge you? The children are coming in, and they have a small gift for you. So, if you could stay standing until they give you your gift, we'd appreciate it. So, moms, if you could stand up, so we could acknowledge you. All right, kids, I see some moms over on this side. Okay, thank you, children. We appreciate it. This morning's message actually isn't going to be on moms, but I was trying to think of an illustration to encourage the moms in our church. And so recently I was talking to one of the moms of one of our leaders, and she was sharing a story about what it was like to raise him. And as usual, I don't want to embarrass anyone, so we're going to call him Pastor Lavin. Okay, and I was talking, and if you know Pastor Lavin, hypothetically, he's like the nicest guy in the world. He loves God, gentle, calm spirit. I think even when watching certain basketball teams go down 0-3, it's a righteous anger. I mean, he's just, that's the guy that he is. But I was talking to his mom, and so I go, well, what was it like? And she thought, he was crazy, okay? She was telling this story that when he was like maybe a little one and a half, she took him to Hawaii to meet the rest of her other family, because she's from Hawaii. And she said that he was so bad that she flew home early, and she told him, "I will never take you to Hawaii until you're 20 years old." Okay, so that was her thing to him. And she said, and it's funny because she's a sweet lady, and she's telling this story. It's like 35 years later, and you could see the frustration welling up in her. She was like, he would not sit still. And the crying was incessant. I'm like, this has been 35 years. And now when I talked to Pastor Lavin, he said that it was his act of love in her sanctifying process. And maybe. But the reason I tell that is for those of you who have kids who are a bit active and you're worried about them, look to Pastor Lavin and know that there's hope that he can love God and honor him. So, moms, there is hope for you. Well, let me pray for us, and we'll get into our study this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your grace and mercy, the chance that we get to come before your word and to be transformed by it. Lord, this morning's topic is a difficult one, but I pray that you would challenge us and encourage us. We thank you, Jesus, and we pray these things in your name. Amen. In light of Mother's Day, we wanted to take a look at the fifth commandment, which says, honor your father and mother. Now, if you've grown up in the church, you've heard this many times, but we're going to look at it from a slightly different perspective, not simply how young people can honor their moms, but I want to talk about a topic that has become really prevalent in my counseling and ministering, and that's how we as adults honor our parents. In other words, okay, the focus is not on younger people. Rather, it's for those of us who have left our parents' homes, we're no longer under their authority. How do we honor them? Right? Now, as we go through this, I'm not going to mention this every time, but I'm going to include within this, first of all, in-laws. Okay, so the Bible says that when you get married, two become one flesh. which means that I think you have a responsibility towards your in-laws as well. So maybe you have a great relationship with your parents and a really sticky one with your in-laws. Then I hope you'll apply this message to those relationships. I'm also including step-parents. I think you're called to honor them as well. But I think honoring our parents can be challenging for a couple of reasons. First, it's challenging because often we have little idea of what it looks like. Okay, does honoring my parents mean I have to obey them, please them, make them happy, never upset them? What do I do if they want me to do something I don't think I'm supposed to do? Or what do I do if they want me to do something I don't want to do? What about my in-laws? Okay, they haven't passed down to me any of my genetic makeup. You know, do I still have to honor them? If they're not Christian, do I honor them? Can I ignore them on one hand, or on the other hand, should I do everything they want because I'm worried about what they'll think about Christians if I don't? Okay, so this makes it difficult. In my season of life, how do I honor my parents? Second, it's difficult because often our parents are difficult to honor. Okay, now, we need to be very humble in this because I'm sure it's very difficult at times for my kids to honor me. So my thought is, okay, our parents are sinners, we're saints, how do we honor them? But just with the simple idea that, you know, we're sinners, they're sinners, it's going to be tough to honor at times. Some of you have shared with me it's challenging to honor your parents because they're not Christian. Right? This means their worldview is completely different than yours. Their values and desires are often unchristian, sometimes even anti-Christian. They have different hopes for you, for your children. They question the way that you do the things that you do. Some of you have shared that your parents blame Christianity for your problems, that your commitment to your faith is what is problematic. Or culturally, they feel that in holding to Christianity, you're not respecting them. You're not respecting their beliefs. And the scary thing is it's not limited to unsaved parents. Even Christian parents can hold very different values than us. Some of you have parents that you've shared with me that their faith seems largely cultural. For them, Christianity is about church attendance, about being in community, but they don't understand your stance on the Word of God, why you have the convictions that you do. So even though they profess faith, they have some very unbiblical values. I mean, they want you to be Christian. They're glad you go to church, but they also want you to hold a certain cultural norm, certain lifestyles, maybe often asking you to hold the family in priority over faith. On top of this, okay, so beyond belief system and values, it can be difficult to honor our parents because of what our parents have done or are doing. Again, all of us are sinners and all of us have parents who are sinners. Maybe you've been abused, right? You have parents. How do you honor that? Or over the course of your life, you have parents who have said some incredibly unkind, hurtful, even hateful things to you. Maybe your parents don't like your spouse, or your spouse's parents don't like you, or your in-laws, they don't get along with one another. So they like you, but they don't like the other in-laws. Some of you have parents, especially fathers, who have never said that they love you. You have parents who constantly nag you. Why are you still single? What major are you going to choose? Why are you raising your kids like that? Why are you so involved in church? Why don't you come over more? We could go on and on. They have boundary issues, right? They're overly involved. They want to be around all the time. They don't let your family have space. Or they're overbearing. Things have to be done their way. Every holiday has to be with them. They must be consulted on major decisions. They have unreal or unbiblical expectations. They expect when they get older, they're going to live with you. You're going to financially support them. Or they expect you to obey them. Maybe they treat you like children. Okay, so you're 50 years old and they still act like you're a child. Maybe they demand obedience. Maybe there's cultural issues. They're first generation, you're second generation, and with that comes so many different difficulties and problems. Maybe your parents don't let the past be the past. Okay, so you weren't the greatest kid and now you feel like you're still paying for it. Maybe your parents aren't a joy to be around. They talk too much. They don't talk enough. They're opinionated. They have anger issues. Maybe they use guilt as a motivator to make you do what they want to do. Right? The classic Asian guilt trip. And it doesn't have to be like, I have the worst parents or I have a great relationship. Sometimes you just love your parents, have a good relationship, but there's still certain areas which make it difficult to honor them. And again, I could go on and on and on. Almost all of these I've heard from one person, if not many. And so I think we have to assume that to honor our parents and in-laws, our step-parents, it can be difficult at times. And again, we have to be humble, you know, because 30 years from now, one of our kids is going to be a pastor and giving the same message. Okay, so I can just imagine JoJo in this pulpit saying, you know, the Bible says honor your parents, but have you met my dad? That dude's crazy, okay? And he's going to be preaching and saying, you know, you got to love him despite, you know, he's nuts. So we have to be humble. But what are we going to do with this? Well, let's turn to the Word and see what it says. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Now, Moses here is re-giving the law to the nation of Israel, okay? And they're about to enter the promised land, so he wants to give them a law again to prepare them. He's in the middle of the Ten Commandments, and he comes to the fifth commandment. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God has given you. Now, a quick disclaimer here. This was initially given to the Old Testament Jews, and we should be hesitant about too quickly applying it to us. Right, the Sabbath would be a good example. We don't apply the Sabbath in the same way that the Old Testament Jews did. But though we are in the New Covenant, it should not surprise us that so much of the, especially the moral law, has application to us. And so we see Jesus and the other New Testament prophets applying them to us. In fact, the reason we start with this Deuteronomy passage is because both Jesus and Paul use it, and the Exodus 20 version of it, to teach on the importance of honoring our parents. So actually, we'll probably spend most of our time in the New Testament, but we're going to begin here. So the passage says, honor your father and mother. And so let's be crystal clear, this commandment applies to you. There can be no excuses. You're called to honor your parents. Regardless of their sin, their beliefs, how far away they live from you, their age, you're called to love and honor your parents. To do otherwise is sin. So have you had a fight with your parents recently or your in-laws? Have you expressed frustration or anger? Have you compromised your witness? Have you complained about them? Have you spoken poorly of them to others? Right, then something has to change. And I understand that you sometimes go to people to get prayer, to get wise counsel, but are you just complaining about your parents? Our parents should see in us incredible love for them and for our Lord. Our life should demonstrate the gospel, so that if they are not saved, it should be a witness to them. And if they are saved, it should be an encouragement to them. Right? That's how we should be with our parents. And so here's the key idea this morning. Honoring your parents means loving them because you love God. Look at two ideas this morning. Know what honoring your parents looks like. Know what honoring your parents looks like. When we were little, so I'm one of four boys, right? And we didn't really know necessarily what this means. We probably could tell you the verse, but I remember times more than once that where it would also be like my mom's birthday, or it'd be Mother's Day or our Father's Day, and we'd realize that we don't have a gift for mom or dad. And so what we'd do is we'd go to the local convenience store, like a 7-Eleven or something, and go buy gifts for mom. Okay, so imagine going to 7-Eleven. Now, for me, that would be perfect. If you can buy me a Slurpee, I'm happy. But, you know, for your mom, and so literally, we buy them snacks and things like that, and then we wrap it up and we give it to her. So I don't know if anything really says, you know, honoring mom, like beef jerky and a bumper sticker that says honk if you love the Lakers, but that's what we would do. And we'd say, like, you know, God bless you, mom. And then we'd give her these gifts. And I think when we were little, we didn't understand what does it really mean to honor our parents. Unfortunately, I think as we get older, I think things still stay a little vague. And though our presence may get a little nicer, often we still don't know what it really means to honor our parents. And I think that's one of the great difficulties of this passage. How do we as adults honor our parents? Now, if you're a child, under the care of your parents, it's pretty easy. And I'm going to include within this, for those of you who are college students, if you've left home, but you're still living with your parents, they're paying for you and supporting you, this summer you're going to go back there. In a sense, they're supporting you financially, you're under their authority. I think this applies to you. The Bible's really clear that if you're a child under your parents' authority, you obey them. That's how you most clearly honor them. Now, just as a brief aside, if you're a young person here, and it may not seem like fun, but realize there's really great importance to this. The family is where you learn to submit to authority instead of living for yourself. Your parents are meant to give you a picture of what it means to live under the gracious authority of God. In other words, your parents, in a sense, are vice regents. They're representing God to you. And if your parents let you do what you want, you would learn that you are the king of your life, and they wouldn't prepare you to follow the one true king of your life. And so they teach you the importance of living under loving, gracious authority. And what you are called to do then is to obey. So today's a good day, right? Mother's Day, I hope you honor your mom in some way. But if you really want to honor her, just obey her this week and next week and the week after that. When she asks you to do something, do it. Okay, so I wish I had more time on this. But back to our topic. For those of us who are adults, it is difficult. Now, to understand what it then looks like, I think we have to remember a couple of ideas. First, when we leave home and are no longer under our parents' care and provision, we are no longer under their authority. Okay? I think this can be especially seen in the context of marriage. Genesis 2:24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. There is no more significant verse in the Bible concerning marriage than this one. Not only was it there when God institutes marriage, but it's the one that Jesus quotes when he talks about marriage. It's the one Paul quotes when he talks about marriage. Okay? We could do message after message on how this applies to marriage. But I think it's interesting that in establishing this, he doesn't just talk about cleaving and what marriage looks like. He starts off with, you have to leave. Okay? You have to leave. Now, what does it look like then to leave our parents? It's not a complete cut of emotional ties, of contact, or things like that. But you're no longer under their authority. You're not dependent upon them financially or emotionally. By that I mean you don't have to have their love or affection for your emotional well-being. They're not your primary confidants. You're not crushed when they disagree with you. You don't have to live their way of life and their culture. Right? You've left them in a sense. So you love them and you appreciate them, but you've left them. And so as much as anything, this gives us a picture of what honoring our parents isn't. And it isn't, it does not mean then that we obey them. So if you're asking the question, do I have to do what my parents want me to do? The answer is no. Not simply because they want, because they're your parents. Especially in the areas of preference. This doesn't mean that you can't do what they say. And that at times it may be wise or loving to do what they say. But you're not under scriptural obligation to obey them. Take today, for example. Maybe your mom and dad want you to come over, but you're planning on spending today with the other side of the family. I think there are good questions you can ask to come to a wise decision. But from a technical standpoint, you're not obligated to obey your parents and go visit them today. So to honor them does not mean to obey them. This also means that in honoring our parents, our goal is not to make them happy or to get them to be pleased with us. Right, some of you kind of live under the thumb of your parents, constantly trying to please them, to make them happy. Maybe they've kind of put in that low-grade, constant guilt within your life that's calling you to please them. Do what they say. Some of your parents have conditioned you that because you are their son or daughter, you must do what they say so that you can make them happy. And when you don't, even if you think it's wrong to do what they say, you still feel that guilt. And the Bible says that that's not the way it's supposed to be. You're not under their authority. Second foundation then, though we leave our parents' care and authority, we're still called to honor them. Okay, so one extreme might be, I have to do everything they say, I need to obey them. But the other extreme would be, well, you know, I'm no longer their authority, I can ignore them or do whatever I want to do. But Jesus makes very clear that this passage is not just speaking to young children, but to adult children as well. Matthew 15:3-6, Jesus says this, and he's talking to the Pharisees. It says, he answered them, and why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what you have gained from me is given to God. I'm sorry, what you would have gained from me is given to God. He need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. So what was happening here is these adults were supposed to take care of their parents financially, but instead, you know, I'm giving this money to God, okay? And now there's debate as to whether they're actually doing that or not, but either way, Jesus is saying that in this, they were not honoring their parents. And so Jesus applies this to us. So again, we're not under their authority, but we're still called to honor them, so what does it look like? The term honor has the idea of weight, the idea of kind of seeing someone's worth and living in light of that. And so let me give you three ways to honor your parents. The first is to respect them. Mark 7:10, for Moses says, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father and mother must surely die. Leviticus 19:3, every one of you that shall revere his mother and his father, every one of you shall revere his father and mother, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. The idea of revere has the idea of having a fear of, in a good way, to respect them. Okay, so let me ask you, do you respect your parents? One key we learn from these verses is that it has nothing to do with whether or not they deserve respect. Okay, do you get that? Don't think, okay, I would respect them if they deserve my respect, if they live godly lives, or if they supported or encouraged me the way I think they should. If you do that, then you're no different than the rest of the world. That's what the world does. You revere your parents because God has told you to. Sometimes you may have to have some difficult conversations with your parents, painful even. You might have to confront your parents. But even in those conversations, you need to do it with respect. So do you treat your parents, your in-laws, with respect? Do you speak to them kindly, even when they are not speaking kindly to you? Do you speak well of them to your children? And even if you have to point out something you disagree with, like, you know, grandma and grandpa, they do this, do you do it with respect? If me or someone from the church were to see you interact with your parents, would we say, you know, that's someone who respects their mom and dad? And don't make it harder than it is. Don't think, okay, what does respect look like? I mean, if I were to tell you respect your boss, you would know what that means. Okay, so to honor your parents means to respect them. Second is to appreciate them. Exodus 21:17, whoever curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Okay, we're in the new covenant again, so that whole death part isn't really as profitable for us. But we do want to look at this idea of what it means to curse our father and mother. The idea of curse here is to declare someone as insignificant or contemptible. Okay, when you treat someone as insignificant, you're not appreciating them. When you treat them as contemptible, you're not appreciating them. If you're like me when I was young, I really didn't appreciate my parents. But even now, having my own kids, realizing all that my parents did, I still don't think I appreciate them enough. Like we said earlier, some of you might think, well, there's so little to appreciate. And my encouragement is, find something to appreciate in your parents. At the very least, start with this idea, they were made in the image of God. Or, you know, they're sinners like me, and the only thing that's different between my parents and me is the grace of God. One of the things that we do in our weddings is that we have the couple write letters to their parents that are read out loud at the ceremony. And the reason we're trying to do is to honor our parents in the terms of this leaving and cleaving aspect. And some of the people, it's been very difficult. You know, they really think, I don't know if I have anything to write, you know, to my parents. And my encouragement is always, even if your parents are, you know, walked out on you, think of something that you can appreciate and try to honor in that way. Sometimes it's just, you know, in reality, your dad never said, I love you. He was never there for you, but he worked hard to support the family. And so write that. Say, Dad, I appreciate that you worked hard to take care of our family. And you love them for that reason. As I was thinking about this in my own life, I really look forward to Mother's Day because it's a chance to honor my wife, Jen, right? So me and the kids, we talk and we plan. My wife's birthday is tomorrow, and so this is, it's not just today, but it's tomorrow and stuff. So we think about this, but I was thinking, but I don't really do that with my own mom, right? She's coming over for dinner, and we'll cook her dinner. But I didn't even buy her gift. Jen did. I don't know where we got her, you know? So I should ask her before we give it to her, but I'm sure it's nice and well thought out by my wife, but I don't know. Right? And I think, again, there's this idea that I don't appreciate my mom. And my mom is a godly woman. I think she raised us in the Lord. It's not like we have this hateful relationship. She hates God kind of thing. But I just don't appreciate her enough. I mean, even now, as you guys are so, like, starting your young families, dads and moms, I hope you help your children appreciate your spouse. Jen's better at this than I am. But I think it was last week, we went... it was my kid's spring break, so I took some time off so that we can be together as a family. And I would hear her say to the kids, make sure you thank Daddy because he took off work so that we could do this. You know, and it's just as much work for her. You know, and it's not that big of a deal for me. I love to be with them. But she wanted them to make sure that they thank me. You know, and I think she's trying to raise kids who appreciate their dad. And I think we need to be doing that. Men, I hope you're doing that for your wives. When you see your child be unappreciative to their mom, I hope you pull them aside and you, at the very least, talk with them, if not much more. and share with them what it means to appreciate who their mom is. I think for me, just to appreciate my parents, just to take more an interest in them. They spent my whole life taking an interest in me. Even now, they take an interest in my kids. They come over, they watch them at times so that we can do things. And I still don't think I take enough of an interest in their life. So appreciate your parents. Last is to seek their good. Seek their good. Appreciate them. Respect them. Seek their good. 1 Timothy 5:8 says that we have to provide for our family. Okay, we're supposed to financially take care of them. We know we're called to serve our family. We know we're called to love our family. And so we must live in a way that seeks their good. Now, this is kind of a sticky one in that because of this, we might think, well, I have to do whatever makes them happy or what they want me to do. But to seek someone's good sometimes means making difficult decisions, having difficult conversations, and taking difficult actions. Think of your child, right? You try to do what's good for them, whether or not they like it. Maybe you don't let them go to a certain event, right? Because you know bad things are going to go on. They want to go there, but you say, no, you can't go there. Not because you hate them, but because you love them. You're trying to protect them and guard them. I think the same thing with our parents. Seeking their good doesn't always mean you do what they want, but you actually do what's best for them. Maybe the question that you might ask is, how can I encourage them towards Christ? How can I encourage, if they're a Christian, that means encouraging them to love Christ more. If they're not a Christian, that means pushing them towards a better knowledge of who Christ is, both through action and word, demonstrating that gospel. For example, maybe you have parents who are overbearing. They believe that every event must include them, right? Every vacation should be with them. They always want to come over and things like that. But realize, the Bible says that leaving and cleaving is not only God's mandate, it's good for you and it's good for your parents. And so to seek your parents' good is to help them to see that leaving and cleaving is a good thing. So you set good boundaries. And even though they may not like it, you have sought their good in your decision and you've sat down with them and explained it. Mom and Dad, I love you, but you know, this is family time for us and we need this time. And, you know, and so you explain that to them. The thing is often in seeking our parents' good, they won't like it. They may be angry at us. But again, in the same way you might discipline your child, you do it because you love them. I think this means that sometimes you have to literally explain yourself, right? You may have to say, Dad and Mom, we love you so much. We like to spend time with you. But, you know, we can't come over this time. Maybe they want you to come over on a Sunday morning and spend brunch with them, okay? And they give you the guilt trip. You know, that church is just taking up so much time. So again, this is your chance to love them by seeking what's best for them. So you say, Dad and Mom, we love you so much. We'll be over as soon as church is over. But you know what? The most important thing to our family is our faith in Christ. And so we need to go to church and worship our Lord. And then we'll spend time with you. What have you done in that moment? You've given a picture of the gospel, of priorities, of what's important, of faith. You've demonstrated to them that you love them. You've told them, I love you. We'll come right over. This is trying to seek their good. It doesn't mean they're going to think, oh, really? Christ is most important? Well, then great. They may just pile on the guilt, right? But you're seeking their good, and so you're doing these things. Let's look at a couple more maybe examples just to kind of get this down, okay? So we're thinking respect, appreciation, seeking their good. One of the questions I get is Buddhist funerals, okay? So someone passes away, your parents expect you to be there, they expect you to take part in it, and if you don't, they're going to be highly offended. Right? I'm sure I've heard this 7 or 8 times. You know, what do I do about that? So again, you're thinking, well, how do I respect them, appreciate them, seek their good? My thought is that, for one, you need to sit down and explain yourself. Whatever actions you take, you can't just do it and hope they get from that any understanding of Christ or the gospel. But the thing that I encourage our people to do is, I don't think it's wrong to set foot in a Buddhist temple, but what are you doing when you're in there? Okay, so just say it's a funeral, right? And you go there, and you know they like to light the incense, and they do certain bowings, and there's this ceremony. And so my encouragement is, go in there, love your mom and dad, take no part in what's going on in terms of the ceremony, but make sure that they know that you love and respect them, and sit down and talk with them and tell them that's what you're doing. Mom and Dad, I know you want me to light the incense. I know you want me to bow to Buddha, to do certain things. But realize that Christ is the most important thing to me. So I'm going to show up because I love you. And I want to honor you and I want to respect you. I want to pay my respect to, you know, our uncle who passed away. But realize I'm going to take no part in the ceremony. But I love you, so I'll be there to support you. Right, so in that, you're trying to respect them, appreciate them, honor them, but also demonstrate that Christ is the only way. You're not going to convolute things by going and participating in their ceremonies. And so you do this in this act of love. Seek every opportunity to express love and express gratitude, and then share what it means in light of your faith. Some of you have shared the stories about your families, and it just grieves my heart, you know, just the things that you've gone through. Or maybe you haven't talked to your parents in years, you know, or every time you do talk to them, it seems like it's a struggle. But I believe you can honor them in the midst of that. You know, not because of how great you are, but because of how great our God is. And that kind of brings us to our second point. Honoring our parents is really about loving them and loving God. Honoring our parents is really about loving them and loving God. So I asked one of my brothers, I need an illustration of how difficult it was to you know, parent us. And so he thinks for a second, I really can't think of anything. And I'm like, really? What about your autobiography? Okay? What about your life? Okay? So Jared says, okay, I got one. I remember when I was in junior high, I was pretty young still, and I got my third detention in a row. Okay, and so I call Mom. I said, Mom, I need a ride home again. And she says, no, you got to walk. Okay, so we lived miles from school. And it wasn't like you walked down a city block. You had to cut through this back mountain area. And it was getting dark, right? And so, you know, she said, no, you got to walk. You just got to, you know, because this is your third detention in a row. So he's telling me the story. And then he said, you know what I learned from that is I needed to spread out my detentions. Okay, because I can't do three in a row. That's just ridiculous. I'm not even going to ride home. If I spread them out, then she might come pick me up. So, sanctification is slow. So again, moms have hope. He loves the Lord now. And there's hope for your children. But part of me was thinking as he was telling this story is, well, my parents must have really loved God. Okay, not just loved him, but loved God to stick with him and all of that. But realize I think it's in reverse as well. For us to honor our parents, it's not just about action or attitude or loving them, but it's ultimately about how we love God. Let me explain. To understand why it's about loving God, we have to understand why we don't honor our parents. And it has to do with the sinfulness of our own hearts. Right? When God created us, we were meant to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay? And when you did that, when you loved God rightly, then every other relationship was perfect. Okay? Realize that. If you loved God rightly, then you were going to love everyone else perfectly. So if we were in the Garden of Eden with our parents, we would perfectly honor them because we would love God so much, you'd have no choice but to love them as well. Okay? And so there was never tension. There would never be tension, never be disagreements, never be lack of respect, never be lack of appreciation. You would love your parents rightly because you love God rightly. Now, obviously, this isn't where we are, and that's because sin enters the world. And when it sinned into the world, it wasn't just about us doing wrong things, but it changed our affections. The love I felt for God, I now feel for things, right? We kind of throw off the mantle of God's authority. We say, God, I don't want you, I just want your stuff, right? I just want your blessings. I want this earth. I want money. I want relationships. I want joy. I want happiness. I just don't want you. Okay, and then when we kind of throw off that and we don't love God as we're meant to, realize that the next repercussion is we won't love people rightly. Because any love that we show for people is going to be self-serving at some level. With this sin comes not only broken relationships then, both with God and with people, but comes judgment. God says, okay, I gave you a way to live. You're supposed to love me with all that you are. You're supposed to live rightly. But now that you've broken that law, then because I'm a just and a holy God, I need to pour out my wrath upon you. And that's with an eternity in hell. Okay, so imagine that. That's the messed up world we live in, right? We're supposed to love God with all that you are. We don't. We're supposed to love people as ourselves. We don't. Judgment is coming. But God, being a gracious God, sends Jesus into this storyline, in a sense, to become a savior. He lives the perfect life that we weren't able to. He goes to the cross and suffers God's wrath in my place. Okay, so I say, God, I don't want to love you. Okay, that's the kind of blasphemous sinfulness I live in. And yet Jesus says, you know, even for that kind of sin, I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to suffer in your place. My sin was credited to Jesus. He was punished for it. And conversely, because of my faith, his righteousness was credited to me, and I have eternal life. But it's not just about getting into heaven, but it comes changed affections. Once again, I can go back to living how I was created to live, loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving others as myself. So now I can love my parents rightly. Before, I couldn't. I couldn't really love them as I was meant to because I was too busy loving myself. But when things get back in order and I start to love God rightly, then I'll start to love my parents rightly. Let's look at a passage that will kind of help us kind of see this illustrated. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. It says this, Matthew 22, starting with verse 34, pretty well-known passage. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Okay, so if you've been in church for any amount of time, you've heard this. The first part is very familiar to you. These are the two great commandments. But the last part here is what's kind of intriguing, right? On these two commandments depend all the law and prophets. Okay, wait a minute. I thought we were looking at the Ten Commandments. How we can now sum that down to two commandments? Well, Jesus' words give us great insight into the Ten Commandments and the rest of the law. We can break up the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, into two parts, the vertical and the horizontal. The first four of the Ten Commandments deal with how we relate to God. That's the vertical. Have no other gods. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath. The last six have to do with how we relate to others. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not covet. So when Jesus summarizes the law, including the Ten Commandments, he's really saying it really comes down to two ideas. You love God and you love others. The Ten Commandments fit under that idea. So think about that for a moment. What is stealing really about? Do I love my neighbor? What is adultery really about? Do I love my neighbor? And for our discussion this morning, what is honoring our parents really about? Do I love my neighbor? Why is this important? Because I think when it comes to our parents, we conveniently leave out this aspect of love. We assume our difficulty in honoring them has to do with who they are, their sin, their shortcomings, their attitudes, their actions. But Jesus says your difficulty in honoring them has to do with who you are. At its simplest, you do not love them like you should. And he doesn't place conditions upon who they are. After all, he's already said, love your enemies. I mean, what more can he say in terms of this idea of love? But kind of let that sink in for a moment. If right now you're saying, well, my parents are difficult to love or my parents are difficult to honor, just say it for what it really is. I don't love them enough. I don't love my parents enough. Now, the interesting thing, and I think this is where real change can happen if we understand it, is that honoring our parents is not just about how we love them, but how we love God. Okay, there's two sides to the Decalogue, loving others and loving God. And we have to realize, and this is key, the two commandments are not autonomous, but rather inseparably linked. Right, the temptation to think, okay, I have my loving God side and my loving people side. Loving God is more important because God is more important. But we have to see them as really being tied together. And that's because loving God is the foundation of loving others. Okay, so if you get loving God right, you will love other people right. The problem is that we don't love God enough, and rather we love something else more. Usually it's ourselves. Right? I love myself, and so I don't love my parents enough. Let me give you an example. Your parents have done something to hurt or offend you, and you begin to grow bitter at them. Maybe you don't say anything publicly. Maybe you don't lash out, but there's this bitterness in your heart that grows. In that moment, are you saying, you know what? I'm bitter because I love God. I just love him. I can't get enough of him. He's my glory. He's my first and only priority. In that moment, you're saying, it's me. They've hurt me. I can't believe they've done that to me. Your parents become demanding and it makes you angry. In that moment, are you loving God? You're loving you. The problem with all sin, including honoring your parents, is how do I love God? Why did I dishonor my parents? Because I don't love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. Conversely, imagine this is your life. Your parents sin against you, and you respond in love, thinking, God, I know they have sinned against me, but I love you too much to respond in anger. I love you too much to dishonor your name by compromising my witness. I love you too much to think of myself. I have to think of you. You are my great love. Okay, so think about that. If you get the first commandment right, love God, you will never mess up the second commandment. If you love God with all that you are, you will always love people rightly. Back to our point, and again, this is crucial. If you're having trouble honoring your parents, it comes down to your love for God. Okay, so if you want to love them more, don't just think, okay, how can I love them more? Maybe I'll come with a list of things that they can that they do well. Rather, come before your Maker and meditate on why he's worthy of your love. Don't just see your lack of love as a sin against your parents. Remember and think of this deeply. You must see it first and foremost as a sin against God. I know for me, it's easy to justify my lack of honor for my parents, for my father-in-law, based upon what they do. But then I think of it in light of these passages, and I realize there is no justification for my lack of honoring them. At its heart, I'm loving myself more than them, and worse, I'm loving myself more than I love God. And in the dishonoring of my parents, I have broken the two greatest commandments. I have not loved God with all that I am, and I have not loved my neighbor as myself. What is the solution? Not simply to love them more, but to love God more. To hold him in such high esteem that you have no choice but to love your parents who have been created in his image. Practically, what can we do to grow then in this love for God? Let me give you six ideas here. First is repent. You know, come before God. God, forgive me for not loving my parents enough, and even more, forgive me for not loving you enough. I've said it time and again, but if change is not coming, repentance is probably lacking. If you were to come up to me after a sermon and said, yeah, that's, you know, it's a great sermon, but you don't know my parents, that but is that lack of repentance. When you can say, I know I should honor my parents, and so I need to ask for forgiveness, God. When you're there and you can just come before God acknowledging your sin, change will come. Maybe some of you've never actually even sat down and asked for forgiveness for dishonoring your parents. And maybe today is where it starts. Second is seek accountability. Right? Maybe it's your spouse, a sibling, a friend. Maybe you're going to go see mom today and you have such difficulty being around her. And so you tell your wife, you know, can you watch me today? You know, and if you see that I'm short, if you see that, you know, I'm unkind in any way, if I'm ignoring her, then call me on it, you know, and pray for me. And then, you know, later I'll go ask, you know, mom for forgiveness. But have someone there who's watching and helping you. Third is grow in humility. The Bible says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. There is such arrogance and pride that says my parents must live up to my standards in order for me to honor them. But humility says, you know what? Were it not for the grace of God, I would be worse than my parents. Fourth is feed your love for God. Remember, that's the solution. So study his character. Meditate on his gospel. If you love God rightly, you'll love your parents rightly. So do those things that fuel your love for God. Fifth is have faith. It kind of sounds simple, but maybe you haven't even made the connection that honoring your parents means that you have to trust in God's plan for your family. Right? Because the world teaches you different. Your sinful heart says otherwise. But to take such a radical step as to honor your abuser or honor your overbearing parent, you have to trust that God's plan for relationships is right. You have to believe that God says, honor your parents, that it's a good thing. He's going to bless you for it, and it's the right thing to do. Because if you don't believe that, then you'll just act the way that you want to. You have to have faith in God, absolutely trusting him that honoring your parents is a good thing. Lastly is take action. Okay, don't just keep it in the realm of your head, but do something about it. Maybe just first and foremost, you need to ask your parents for forgiveness. Okay, yeah, maybe they've sinned against you 10 times more than you've sinned against them. But you've sinned against them, then you need to ask for forgiveness. Grant forgiveness if it's been asked for. Okay, so if your parents come in and they've asked for forgiveness, don't be bitter against them. Forgive them and let them be free of it. Even if they have not asked for forgiveness, at least have a heart that is willing to be forgiving. That's not bitter. That loves them nonetheless. Demonstrate appreciation. Right? Some of you think like, well, Mother's Day is just kind of it's a holiday created by card companies to, you know, get my money. You should be thankful to Hallmark that they've done something to remind you of something you're probably not doing in the first place. It's like, write them a letter this week and say, thank you, Hallmark, because the Bible says honor my parents and my mom, and I never do that, so thank you, okay? Because we just don't do it enough. Share the gospel. If they're unbelieving, there is nothing more loving you can do than share the gospel with them. And not just in loving deeds, though that's important, but actually sit down with them and share with them the great gospel of our Savior. Work on your speech. Are you sarcastic? Do you talk too much? Do you not talk enough? Are you short? Are you dismissive? Think through how you use your words with your mom and your dads. And then think through, how can I work on that? Take an interest in their lives and serve them well. For many of you, even though you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, your parents still serve you in some way. They watch your kids so that you can go out on a date or get things done. And so they're still taking an active interest in your lives, and that's great, that's a blessing, but are you taking an active interest in their lives? Now, how can you serve them? How can you encourage them? I mean, have you asked, if your parents are Christian, have you asked them lately, like, what are you learning about God? You know, what are the things that the Bible's teaching you? Are you praying for them? You're asking for God's grace? Probably so easy for you to pray for your kids, to be diligent in that. Are you diligent in praying for your parents? You could probably add to this list and just, you know, do the things that take, you can do things and take action to love your parents. Okay, we have to end here, but remember the point here. Honor your parents by loving them because you love God. I know for me, this is convicting. Okay, so I'm in my late 30s, and I realize that I have so much to grow in when it comes to even honoring my parents. There's things I just need to do. And I'm guessing for some of you, it's the same. And my challenge is this: don't let it slide. Right? Don't. If you know change needs to come, don't make excuses. Don't blame your parents. Don't blame your in-laws. Come in humble repentance before our God, and by his grace, honor your parents. At its simplest, I'm actually just charging you to love God. Because I know that if you love God, you'll love our Savior. I think C.S. Lewis said it well, and it's at the bottom of your notes. He says, When I've learned to love God better than my earthly dearest, I shall love my earthly dearest better than I do now. Insofar as I learned to love my earthly dearest at the expense of God and instead of God, I shall be moving towards the state in which I shall not love my earthly dearest at all. When first things are put first, second things are not suppressed, but increased. Love God. If you're going to live here now, I'm not sure what Pastor Kim said. Love God with all that you are, and you'll honor your parents. For some of you, Mother's Day can be a painful thing because you don't have a good relationship with your mom. Maybe you're not going to see you, or you dread seeing her. And yet, realize that if you can live according to what the Bible says, it is so freeing. You can just honor your mom. You know, you can just love her. You can forgive her. You can move on. And I think that's what the Bible hopes for. And so as I close in word of prayer, maybe just take a moment and ask for God's grace in your life as you try to honor your parents, and then I'll close us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your grace and mercy. And Lord, I know I need to grow in this area, and I'm sure there's others in this room who felt the conviction of your Holy Spirit has given to us in your word that they need to honor you as well. And so, Lord, help us to better honor our parents because we love you. Help us to be practical and thoughtful. Help us to be humble and repentant, that we might be a people, a generation that brings you glory in the way that we deal with our parents. So be gracious to us, Lord. Honor yourself in our obedience. We thank you, Jesus, and we pray these things in your name. Amen. This morning, we're going to be celebrating communion. Okay, so it's so appropriate, I think, you know, as we think about how the gospel transforms us, allows us to love our parents rightly, that we're going to take communion. Communion is kind of this visual aid, this demonstration that shows us the gospel through many senses, right? It represents his broken body and his spilled blood for us. And so what's going to happen is we're going to sing a song of worship. The ushers are going to pass out the elements. You don't have to be a member of Lighthouse to take communion, but we do ask that you'd be a Christian. It's a very special time of worship for us as believers. So if you're not a Christian, you can let it pass by you, and you can kind of observe this act of worship. Then after the first song of worship, I'll come up and I'll lead us in the taking of the elements. And so we'll spend some time in confession and repentance, and then we'll close.